It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Czyli 10-3 zostanie mistrzynią olimpijską. 10-3. Nawet jakby Chinka strzeliła 10-9, to przewaga zostanie utrzymana. 10-4! Yes! Wygrałaś! Nie wiesz o tym jeszcze, ale już
wygrałaś! Yeah, whatever he's saying, whatever. It sounds good, right? But that's the Olympic Games in Rio, taking place at 2016 Summer Olympic Games. And that announcer, and I'm not sure the language. I want to guess French, but I'm not sure. But he's telling us that Virginia Thrasher, USA's shooter, is the winner. She beat the Chinese opponent, Li Du, who was a 2-time gold medalist, and she beat her pretty significantly. Virginia Thrasher from Virginia, as a matter of fact. Now, the interesting thing about this, she's from Springfield, Virginia. The interesting thing about this is people actually went on Twitter and lambasted Virginia for shooting, for being a shooter, saying things like, you know, well, it figures America would win, you know, guns. It's all about guns. It's just, and it reminded me of the following. Does anyone remember how exciting the Olympic Games used to be? Anyone remember, especially the Summer Games, the buildup? And how excited, I remember when America played Russia in hockey. Remember the, just all of the tension, the, remember how Russia used to dominate the athletic games and the rivalry between the United States and Russia? It was kind of a nationalistic pride. It was exciting. And sometimes we won and sometimes we lost, but we really enjoyed it. Remember the theme song, the music. And it just reminded me of something that I should have realized, and that is that the left is in the process of completely undermining and eradicating anything that spurs on national pride or builds a conclave of people who have an interest that doesn't center around government. And so I was just wondering, you know, I was listening. I'm covering the news. I'm not watching the Olympics too much, although I used to love it. I was very close to Olympic athletes at one time in my life, and it was exciting to watch every single bit of it. But I think all of America was. But this time around, I've not been watching. The things I've been seeing is, oh, Rio, the water's polluted, there are terrorist threats, everything's dirty, nothing's working out, blah, 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 blah. And I have fallen prey to what I'm going to warn all of us about, and that is that this attempt to make to reduce and any interest and national pride in the Olympic Games, because it's just one more area that, again, is something that big government and the left can't understand. They can't understand competition. They can't understand, you know, spending your life perfecting something that has nothing to do with, with their control, with their ideology. It really is the opposite. And so I sort of have a renewed interest in the games now, and I just out of my own pure determination that they're not going to destroy everything. There are some interesting things coming out of the games, and I'll just mention a couple of them. The U.S. Women's Gymnastic Team is doing really well. Again, of course, it's too early to say, but they're dominating. It's a group of like five, they're always little, five little girls. And so they're battling away. Simone Biles, I'm not sure of her pronunciation, Biles it looks like. Simone Biles is really doing well. She's supposed to be the star of the show. So let me just encourage you to, reach back and don't do what I've been doing. Listening to the pundits try to destroy this event and try to reduce our excitement about what it means to compete and to work with excellence and to compete against other nations. This is so anti-left, and we really need to double down in our support of it, I think. Just a couple of other things from the games. The Lebanese Olympic athletes were blocked. The Lebanese athletes blocked Israeli athletes from boarding a bus en route to the opening ceremony on Friday. They got on the bus. They demanded that the driver, when they saw that it was the Israelis that were going to get on with them, demanded that the driver shut the door. The driver opened the door, and then they ran. They stood and prevented the athletes from getting on board the bus. And, of course, the bus was for two teams, and it just happened to be the Israeli team. And some of you may not remember that in 1972, I remember because I was in Germany when this happened, the Munich Olympics, 11, in fact, Israeli athletes were murdered by Palestinian terrorists along with a German police officer. You know, this whole notion that somehow this is new and, you know, it's because of Islamophobia, it's because we have mistreated them. This Islamic terror has been going on for decades, and certainly in my lifetime, before the words were ever coined, and before this whole line of discussion, and before the whole co-opting of racism in this country to apply now, allegedly, to the way we feel about Muslims started. You know, this has been going on for a very long time. So Facebook, by the way, is snubbing the Israeli team. They have a profile frames feature. They list all of the countries in the world competing in the Rio Olympics alphabetically. But who's not there? Israel. So it's just, it's just amazing. I wish that we were not on Facebook, you and me. I wish we were not. I wish it were not the largest provider of the kind of stuff that it does. I wish there were some other provider. Man, I would be out of there. You know, we have some very hard choices because Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook is continuing to, you know, edit and to prevent content that he doesn't like on his Facebook page. Because he's representing the view of the left that's very, very dangerous. And this is the world in which we are beginning to see a glimpse of what it's actually going to be like at the other end. But that's the Rio Olympics. I wanted to bring you up to date on that. Well, there was a really big story that I want to bring to you. It's not political, actually, but it might be in some ways. This is just tragic, absolutely tragic. Let's listen to Eric Shawn on Cut 6. He is the one who really tells the story best, I think.
Well, it turns out the Iranian nuclear deal may have already cost a life. Tehran announcing it executed a prominent nuclear scientist who had apparently defected to the United States in 2009, only to return home 1 year later. He was hanged. The Iran regime says he, quote, provided the enemy, that's us, with vital information on the program. He was 40-year-old Shamran Amiri. U.S. officials told the AP he was paid $5 million for information on the nuclear program, only returned home claiming he was kidnapped by the U.S. government. But the opposition says he went home because the Iranian regime threatened his family. Why was he put to death? And what does that mean? There are emails that the Associated Press has to Mrs. Clinton. She was Secretary of State handling this case at the time. Between Mrs. Clinton and Jake Sullivan, one of her aides, and the Associated Press quotes one of those emails as follows, saying, this is back in 2010, saying, quote, the gentleman, meaning Amiri, has apparently gone to his country's interest section because he is unhappy with how much time it has taken to facilitate his departure. This could lead to problematic news stories in the next 24 hours. The Iranian opposition, the National Council of Resistance of Iran, has a stunning statement out. They say Amiri's execution is a desperate attempt by the Supreme Leader Khamenei to intimidate and terrorize the regime's nuclear experts and scientists to prevent them from leaving the country after the nuclear deal. Engulfed in serious domestic and external crises and facing growing popular discontent and opposition at home, the regime has had to deal with unprecedented defections within its own ranks. I mean, that actually says this could be a message to other nuclear scientists in the regime, you know, leave, help the enemy, that's us, at your own peril, and you'll end up just like he did.
All right, that's Eric Shawn of Fox News, and this is a complicated story, and I don't pretend to be able to tell you all the details because I don't think we really know. But Shahram Amiri was an Iranian nuclear scientist who disappeared in 2009, as I understand it, ended up coming here. The report is that we paid him $5 million. In fact, that was made public when Hillary Clinton was in the State Department because there was, he wanted to, there's this confusion. Did he want to go back home? Did he not want to go back home? Allegedly, they were threatening his family. So he goes back home, and now they hung him. The family says that the body was returned to them with rope marks around his neck. And the thing that Eric was trying to describe there, now here's the most, for us, the most important part of this story, is that Hillary Clinton, on her unsecured server, discussed this man by name. These hacked emails of hers, we know she discussed him. And so this is the point. You put people's lives at risk. She put people's lives at risk, and now one may have died. Here's Senator Tom Cotton talking on Face the Nation about this very thing. Cut 7.
You mentioned the Iranian scientist that was recently executed. Now, of course, I'm not going to comment on what he may or may not have done for the United States government. But in the emails that were on Hillary Clinton's private server, there were conversations among her senior advisors about this gentleman. That goes to show just how reckless and careless her decisions was to put that kind of highly classified information on a private server. But I think her judgment is not suited to keep this country safe.
And yet when I turned on the television yesterday and the day before, Friday night, all I have heard is how incompetent Trump is, how he, you know, kicked a baby out of his rally, how he's fought back to Mr. Khan in the Democratic convention. And that's terrible because you can't defend yourself against a gold star father because he's a gold star father. So he can say anything about you that he wants, you can't defend yourself. I mean, that's what that was. So that's terrible what he did. That's horrible. I mean, just the terrible week that Donald Trump had and how he fell in the polls and on it goes. And yet we have a candidate, Mrs. Clinton, who with Chris Wallace even last Sunday, which very little was made of this either, where she absolutely lied about what the FBI director said in regard to the investigation into her email. Although, you know, Mr. Comey said that I completely told the truth about this. I was very honest about this. And then, you know, that Mr. Comey said the opposite, that this was not true. What she had said about the number of email that she had not passed on classified information, point by point, you can play the sound bite side by side to prove the point if you haven't heard that. She was lying about lying. It's just amazing. And yet it's Donald Trump who is just harumph, just unbelievable. I mean, all these things that he's done with the baby and Mr. Khan, you know, pushing back on Mr. Khan, that's terrible. But what Mrs. Clinton has done, put her email on an unclassified server, which has now, it appears, resulted in the hanging of an Iranian nuclear scientist who's trying to help us. Why, that's just no big deal. Nothing to see. Move on, folks. You know, I just can't believe this. Even again, Fox yesterday, all that I watched, Trump, how bad he's doing is bad. He's got to get his campaign back in order. He's got to get his, and hardly anything about Mrs. Clinton and her misdeeds. I mean, serious infractions, serious lies, deadly mistakes, deadly carelessness, deadly intentional not helping people when they were desperate on the roof of that annex in Benghazi, going to bed early because, you know, nothing to see here. I mean, these are deadly, horrible, horrible decisions that she's made. And so, but it's Mr. Trump with all of his bluster, you know, and his criticism, which, I mean, it's true. I mean, yes. So let's see. Both are wrong, but I'm thinking maybe it might be more serious to publish a name on your email server, unsecured, and get a man killed than it is to, you know, criticize Mr. Khan, or push back on Mr. Khan when he I don't know, just guessing. All right, there's an election in Wisconsin tomorrow. Paul Ryan is up, and it's pretty tense. And so we're going to talk about that and what's happening to the other incumbents and the other conservatives around the country who are left in the races. We're going to talk about that with our friend Daniel Horowitz next. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. as though something strange were happening to you.
American pastor Saeed Abedini was arrested in his native Iran in 2012 while building a government.
Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering.
An army chaplain was punished for discussing matters of faith and quoting from the Bible.
For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving.
God's word is true and applies to our lives today. An encouragement from the American Family Association.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. The Family Research Council says the National Basketball Association is guilty of hypocrisy. The NBA recently pulled its All-Star game out of Charlotte, North Carolina over a transgender bathroom controversy. The NBA accused North Carolina of discrimination. But if the NBA is so concerned about discrimination, why are they hosting a game in China? That's what a new FRC ad asks.
This is a nation with a terrible record on basic human rights. Is the NBA saying that China's discrimination towards women, religions, and people groups is acceptable, but North Carolina stopping local government from forcing businesses to allow men and women showers, locker rooms, and restrooms is wrong? The hypocrisy of the NBA is eye-popping. The NBA is clearly more concerned with pleasing the politically correct crowd than basketball fans.
Sounds to me like a slam dunk double standard. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Donald Trump hoping for a rebound after a week of political whiplash, from lashing out at top Republicans to sudden unequivocal endorsements, telling the Washington Post on Tuesday, "I like Paul, but these are horrible times. We need strong leadership." Then on Friday,
"I support and endorse our Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan."
From "I've never been there with John McCain. He has not done a good job for the vets," to
"I hold in the highest esteem Senator John McCain."
And from "Senator Kelly Ayotte has given me no support. We need loyal people. We don't need weak people," to
"I also fully support and endorse Senator Kelly Ayotte. She's a rising star."
All right. So that was Donald Trump on Friday night. Many people had their hearts sink. I think certainly people in Wisconsin, who the primary is tomorrow between Paul Nehlen and Paul Ryan, And of course, NBC, it's just like a no win. NBC is all over him because he did endorse. Now this is because he said this earlier and now he says this. Of course, I'm sure they were piling on, as were the other media outlets, about how he must endorse the incumbent. And this sets up our discussion, because in this election cycle, we have seen the establishment on both sides of the aisle, but we're going to talk mostly about Republicans, prevail in almost every race around the country. We've seen conservatives defeated in this particular season of supposed rebellion against the establishment by the electorate. Just hasn't translated to the ballot box. Now, there is an election tomorrow in Wisconsin. We're going to talk about that, too. And I've asked my good friend Daniel Horowitz to join us this morning. Daniel is the senior editor for Conservative Review. He is a guy that writes more about this stuff than almost anybody that I know, writing all the time, putting out this great information. By the way, he's the author of a new book called Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. It's always great to start off my day with you.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet, Daniel. All right, I don't even know where to start. I just let me ask you, first of all, just give us an idea about the down ballot races that have ended badly during this election cycle, because I know you follow these so carefully. Not all of them, but some of them.
Sure. I mean, this is something that I think everyone needs to really follow very closely. A lot of people figured that, hey, this was a year of the outsider. There's a mass rebellion, a civil war within the party, and you see Donald Trump won the nomination. And this just means that the party is changing, the establishment is gone. But the reality is the establishment, when we say the establishment, we mean those that seek office as an end to itself. That's my definition, that there is no desire to return the country to constitutional values, conservative values, social, fiscal values. And, you know, it's basically run by K Street, the Chamber of Commerce, and they have pretty much gotten all of their guys in all the down ballot races. So we have failed to knock off a single incumbent so far this cycle. Then you go down to the second level, which is open seats, where there is no incumbent. We've won maybe two or three of them on the House side, not a single one on the Senate side. We failed to elect a single senator to a conservative senator to the Senate this cycle. And then last week, we had a real, you know, political tragedy, I would say, in K Street being so emboldened by their message. And now when I say their message, I don't mean they run on their values. They use their superior firepower to run on our values, our message, paint our guys as insiders, and that's how they win. So they went after one of the few incumbents we had, Tim Hewlett-Camp in Kansas. He was unique in that he was a full free market fiscal conservative who was also a very strong social conservative. You know, Sandy, how all these guys say they're for religious liberty, traditional marriage, and they don't really do anything, and they're in fact scared of the issue. He consistently brought up legislation to protect religious liberty. He was a real star, top five conservative easily in the House, and he was beaten by the big agriculture lobby and the Chamber of Commerce and Boehner's alumni. So this has not been a good year down ballot for us, and it's time we confront that fact that, you know, this party is really not working for us now.
You know, Daniel, I was just thinking, this is not that different than what happened in the last election cycle. The reason we ended up with a Congress that did nothing was because we had these kinds of people elected in the last. We had a lot of conservatives running in the last election, and they got defeated. They were strategically targeted by Mitch McConnell, whether it was the Senate, by Boehner and the PACs in the House. And so we ended up with a smaller group, really, of hardcore conservatives, and we got the legislation that we got. You know, they didn't fight on anything. So now they are attacking the ones that still stood, and that, of course, you mentioned Tim Hewlett-Camp. I want to give Exhibit A of the kind of thing you just talked about. When you say K Street, you're talking about the street here in Washington where all the lobbyists are housed, big business. All the special interest groups have very expensive offices there, and that's how they, and it's, is it mostly Republicans on K Street, or is it Democrats too?
It's funny. That's really where it all melds together. That's where all the defeated politicians or their staff from both sides come together and, you know, make six, seven figure salaries. So it's more Republican interest, but that's kind of the point. What is the Republican interest? It is kind of bipartisan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lobby shops where you have alumni from both parties.
All right, so what people, what I guess, I just want to paint the picture because we both of us live here now and it's kind of becoming, but people in D.C., in outside of D.C. need to understand that's where the big money interests for business reside, and that's who's really pulling the strings, along with the Chamber of Commerce and the big international business interests. And so you say that they're running these ads and they're presenting the true conservatives as the insiders and the people that they're backing as the outsiders. And I want to give an example of that because Paul Gosar in Arizona is under fire. His, I think it's August 30th, his primary. And before I play this clip, how would you describe, Daniel, Paul Gosar?
You know, Paul Gosar is, his number one issue, he's a sovereignty guy. He has been so strong in immigration. And what I always like to say is we have conservative review. Everyone knows by now we have a rating system, a Liberty score based on the top 50 votes of over the last 6 years, the rolling average. But what's more important than being a vote is a voice. You know, sometimes you could have a guy that just votes the right way, doesn't really do anything. He has really been a strong voice, introducing a lot of legislation, attacking some of the very critical issues. But another thing about him is that he has really gotten better with time. Almost like wine. It rarely happens. I rarely see that with members of Congress. They usually have a shelf life of about 6 months, even the good ones, and they go south on you. But he's really improved with time. He was always good, but he's only gotten better since being in office. So that would be a tragedy to lose someone like him.
All right, so he is up for re-election. His opponent is Ray Strauss. And now suddenly, the friends of John Boehner, the establishment money, is coming in to defeat Paul Gosar, and the person challenging him is Ray Strauss. This is a commercial that's been paid for by Right Way PAC. I want you to listen to the wording. Let's listen.
Has Paul Gosar been in Washington too long? Gosar voted to fund Obamacare and raise the debt ceiling, but voted against military funding. He pushed water rights legislation that hurt Mojave County, but helped special interests. No wonder $1.8 million of his campaign funds came from out-of-state and special interests. And Gosar boycotted a speech by the Pope so he could fundraise off his disrespectful stunt. Those aren't our values, so it makes sense that Gosar's home, family, and former business weren't in our district. It's time for a change. Ray Strauss will work to protect the Second Amendment and introduce legislation to stop waste, fraud, and abuse, secure the border, and deport illegal immigrants with criminal backgrounds, and allow us, instead of Washington, to control our access to water. On August 30th, vote
all right,
Ray
so that's
Strauss.
It. August the 30th. Now, Daniel, your comments on that.
Sandy, did you have to do that to me this early?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Way to start on Monday, right?
I was kind of sleepy, and this just, okay. You know, I've been personally involved in a lot of primary challenges, and I got burnt out, and this makes me sick to my stomach. These people lie like anything. There is no fear of God in them. And I was actually planning on writing a book on this. Which is why the whole primary system is systemically broken, because what they do is they know what the voters want to hear. It's not like they run on the K Street agenda. They run on our agenda, and now they have this stick they play that any guy who's been in office, so, you know, let's say Louis Gohmert, he's been there, you know, 10, 12 years, but he's been a warrior every day. You could say Louis Gohmert, a career politician, you know, I mean, and that's what they do. They play off of that. They lie about votes. And then they say their guys are the conservatives. And you know, if you're the average guy that, you know, you don't do this for a living and you actually have a normal job, why would you know any better? And it is so insidious. It's so maddening. And I just don't know what you do when the other side's willing to do that. That ad is a classic. I hear that all the time, you know, where our guys are the liberals. And you know what's funny? These are the same special interests that hit our guys for voting against, you know, the Boehner-Ryan budget bills, because they'll run ads saying, oh, you know, you voted to raise spending if you don't do that. And then the one time they do, then they'll hit them the other way. The reality is, like I said, Gosar is a unique member because the first term he came in there was 2010. And, you know, that was the big wave. And you know, these members didn't know any better, and they followed leadership. So he took a couple bad votes, but that's what the Republican Party was doing. But whereas the other ones just slide deeper into the abyss, he learned his lesson. He was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And he never turned around. So it's extremely disingenuous for these guys to do that. But again, It's all about the money, and if they have to run like our people in order to get elected and do the opposite, they'll do it.
So bottom line is, when we talk about the other side, we're talking about, in this case, other Republicans, the establishment, who have no moral compass when it comes to honesty on this. It's like Senator McConnell. We're going to secure the borders. We're going to stop Obamacare. We're going to stop these executive orders. All of those things, lies. And so that ties in to me to the next person we have to talk about, and that's Paul Ryan, who is such a nice guy, Daniel. Such a nice guy. Speaker of the House, got these kids. He works out. You know, he's from Wisconsin, Janesville, just a regular guy. And yet, if you disagree with me, please correct me. I think he's one of the worst in terms of the deception that's going on in the House.
Well, I mean, I think he is a nice guy. And I think, you know, we do want to separate out just personality versus politics. But the problem is that he is that definition of K Street establishment, meaning that they don't want to upset the apple cart as much as they talk about doing that, because they make their money off the status quo. You know, everyone says, oh, $20 trillion in debt and the federal government is too large and powerful to get involved in too many things. But the reality is their donors in the Chamber of Commerce benefit from that. And that's why it's the Chamber of Commerce's official position now not to get rid of Obamacare. And then it has been that way for several years already. That, you know, even things that they originally opposed, once they're enacted, their position is always to keep the status quo. So Paul Ryan will give, just really inspiring speeches about limited government and free markets. But when the leverage points and the prophecies and the legislation come into play to affect that outcome, he'll be nowhere there. And that's the problem with him. You know, I had a member tell me that they wanted to give him one last chance last year after they passed that big budget bill. And they said, look, we know you're going to fund Planned Parenthood. You're going to fund Obamacare. But at least with the refugees, the people are clamoring for that, given the news cycle and the fear about our security concerns. Could you just include the bill that the House already passed as a rider? And he wouldn't do it. And that's when he told me he realized there's nothing left there. There is nothing this man will fight for.
Yes, and I want to get specific, because I remember Paul Ryan traveling around the country with the leftist socialist Luis Gutierrez, agreeing with Luis Gutierrez on where we should go in terms of borders and immigration, amazingly advocating for some of the most dangerous policies and actually implementing them by virtue of his power as Speaker of the House, not even stopping any of the Syrian refugees, which right now, Daniel, as you know, they're pushing to reach that 10,000 number by the end of Obama's term. And, of course, Mrs. Clinton wants to bring in, I think, what, 65,000 a year after that. So Paul Ryan is not going to do anything to stop that. Nothing. I think that is just, I don't care how nice he is, that's not nice, Daniel. You know, that's horrendous.
No, I mean, that's the other half of the problem with Paul Ryan. So, you know, when it comes to the fiscal issues, he talks the talk, but then, like I said, doesn't really walk the walk. Here, he doesn't even talk the talk. When it comes to the security, sovereignty type of issues, he's been fanatically open borders for years, and that is a known fact. Like you said, he's walked around with the most far left wing Democrats promoting amnesty at a time when we badly need to fight it. You know, he's also very into this jailbreak notion that we need to just empty the prisons, which is another big threat because Obama's doing it right now. And if you listen to the Democrat convention and Hillary Clinton's speech, I mean, so-called criminal justice reform was name dropped, you know, every couple minutes there. So this is, again, another thing that we're going to need if Hillary does win. We need a very strong counterbalance to that. And not only is he not a counterbalance, he is supporting that. And the funny thing is the common thread of the issues where Paul Ryan is underwater on are the issues where if they go through, he'll create a permanent Democrat majority, and he himself will not be able to get reelected. So
Daniel,
letting all these felons vote.
We need to take a break. Can you stay with me?
Absolutely.
Okay, Daniel Horowitz, the author of Stolen Sovereignty, and we're going to be back to talk about, I want to get Daniel's take on the Paul Ryan's opponent. Interesting person, interesting in how he's being portrayed by the media. So let's talk about that. The race is tomorrow, the primary is tomorrow in Wisconsin. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
AFA Action Alerts. They're more than just alerts. They're a lifeline to the information you need to keep your family safe. If you already receive them, you know how vital they are, often bringing information you can't get anywhere else. They also have any documentation and contact information necessary for you to take action without having to research it yourself. If you're not on the list to receive Action Alerts, why not sign up today? Just visit AFA.net and take action. That's AFA.net.
In the Trenches with Jeremy Wiggins.
This show is about trying to catch you up, talk about the issues, kind of zero in.
A frontline report from the culture war.
I hope that you'll leave here entertained as well as informed.
In the Trenches.
This is where we take a look at what's going on around the American Family Association. Give it a little bit of a colorful flavor. It's a lot of stuff.
In the Trenches with Jeremy Wiggins. Saturday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
High school students talk about their experiences with Truth for Youth Opportunities.
I woke up one morning and I told myself that if nobody told me that they loved me that day, then I was just going to kill myself.
A few days ago, my friend Monica gave me a Truth for Youth Bible. As I was reading the comics, I felt like Jesus was giving me a big warm hug.
Through the Truth for Youth Bible, I was able to lead Charlie to Jesus. Some people say that Jesus isn't welcome in schools anymore, but because Charlie decided to accept Jesus into his life in school, he welcomed Jesus back into school.
And by the time I finished reading the comics in the front, I thought, wow, she's right. Jesus really does love me.
I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and the Truth for Youth Bible explained to me how to do that.
Help bring the message of the gospel to America's youth. To get your free Bible now during Truth for Youth Bible Week, order online at revivalfires.com. This is a simple and free way to make a difference for eternity.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A top expert on the Islamic supremacist Sharia legal code and the jihad it commands has issued a warning about a new epidemic of violence by individuals shouting Allahu Akbar. But Robert Spencer, the director of JihadWatch.com, notes in a powerful new video that according to government officials and media outlets around the globe, the perpetrators are exhibiting one form or another of mental illness. Time after time, no mention is made of their commitment to jihad or to Sharia. Now, there may indeed be a psychological disorder at work, but that would be the mental illness known as willful blindness about Islamic supremacism. Unfortunately, this form of official and media insanity is getting people killed by impeding an accurate diagnosis and treatment of the real disease afflicting us with growing virulence, the Islamist determination to conquer the entire planet. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Hey, happy Monday, by the way. I always forget that you're supposed to be happy on Monday. I actually am. I enjoy my time with you in spite of the topics that we talk about. But I want to take a second to tell you that this is our week to join with Truth for Youth Bible Week. And we're going to give away thousands of free Bibles to teenagers. And the way we do that is we get it to students, and then we ask the students to give the Bibles. It's all done personally. It's not just like a mass delivery where they won't read it. It's a hand-on-hand. It's our goal is to get the Word of God back into public schools. You know, I was just thinking yesterday, this is kind of unrelated, but when my husband and I were going to church yesterday, we love our church, and we love the teaching. Love it. My husband and I both. I mean, my husband, who is not, you know, he's not been a Christian nearly as long as I have, but I see him just getting more and more excited about God's word. So here we are. We're getting out of the car. And I said, Bruce, you know, I remember when I was a little girl and we sang, one of the first things we sang in Sunday school was, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I still remember the melody. I remember being 4 years old and singing that. It was God's word planted in my heart that I will never forget. And it's true. I'm saying, here I am, a full-grown adult with three grandchildren, and I'm glad to be going into the house of the Lord. It's a great gift. And so we want to plant that kind of word in teenagers' hearts all over the country. Thousands of young people have received Jesus, almost 25,000 over the last 15 years as a result of this project. So our goal this year is to get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teenagers. And you can partner with us by going to revivalfires.com, revivalfires.com, or you can call 1-800-733-4737, 1-800-733-4737. And make your most generous pledge to help us with Truth for Youth Bible Week. And one last thing, you know, it's back to school time almost. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? When I was in school, I hated this time of year. I'm having all these memories this morning. But going back to school, you know, can be fun, I'm told. But we are continuing our boycott of Target. And, of course, one of Target's big marketing seasons is back to school. And we want to remind you that we are encouraging you to boycott. So far, 1.4 million of you have done that. There are other places to buy your school supplies. And the reason we're doing this is because Target has lifted the veil between men using men's rooms and women using women's rooms, opened up their changing facilities, their locker rooms, all kinds of things. We also know that predators have already taken advantage of this, and it needs to stop. And so the only voice we have, the only voice we have is our pocketbook. And so I'm just asking you to join our Target boycott pledge. Go to AFA Action, AFA Action, and sign our pledge and boycott Target. And by the way, you can go to their Facebook and tell them what you think and encourage them to turn this thing around. Do what's right. There's nothing, you know, politically incorrect about having men's and women's bathrooms separate. All right, my guest is Daniel Horowitz. By the way, I know Daniel agrees on that, but Daniel, we won't get off on that bar. By the way, Daniel is the author of Stolen
Diapers.
What?
They have good diapers for Target, but my wife has been a real good sport about it. So,
oh, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's like McDonald's did something that I forgot what it was now. It's been so many years, and I'm a Diet Coke from a McDonald's addict. And I just couldn't, you know, it's like, I couldn't go. It's like, this is killing me, but I can't go. So it does take, I think boycotts, honestly, Daniel, are good for us. We can't boycott every person and every product that we disagree with. That would be irrational. But there are times when we can take a stand, and it's actually good for us to kind of discipline ourselves to do something for a change instead of just talking about it. But back to the issue at hand. There is a primary tomorrow against Paul Ryan in Wisconsin, and there are all kinds of things being written about it. Even the Washington Post did a long article about it yesterday. The opponent is Paul Nellon, and what do you know about Paul Nellon? And from your observation and what you've written about him, Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, I have not been intimately involved in this one as I have in most other primary challenges. Obviously, we're doing different things at Conservative Review. I don't want to get people's hopes up because the reality is Paul Ryan was up. He had a very large lead until pretty recently. It is a little bit unstable. I think ultimately it is important to remember that this individual, at least from what I'm seeing, is not really so much a Reagan conservative. He's this populist nationalist type of, you know, movement. And, you know, again, it's depending on where you are, that might not be exactly where a lot of your listeners are. On the one hand, you have Paul Ryan, who's fanatically open borders. This guy gets up there and then says, basically, we're going to throw out all Muslims living here. And, I have a chapter in Stolen Sovereignty. It's very important noting that a country has the full right to exclude anyone they want in terms of immigration. But it's important to remember that, you know, you can't take that to the next step when you talk about U.S. citizens. If someone's already made a U.S. citizen, it's important that we follow the Constitution. So that's the thing. There are some things I did feel, just in all candor, that Dave Bratt, I know a lot of people are comparing it to that race last year. Steve Rat was somewhat of a stronger opponent. He ran as a three-legged stool, a Reagan guy. He was very strong, social conservative as well. So, you know, he was a little bit more balanced, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Well, let me just say that we have an interview with Paul Nell. Rob Chambers does at AFA Action. And I've interviewed Paul Nell and myself. Daniel, he's a very successful businessman. He owns several patents. He was a strong supporter of Paul Ryan initially. And he believes, of course, in strong border security. He's been, campaigning in Paul Ryan's front yard in front of his very big fence with all of his security, saying, you know, if, you know, we should have this kind of a border in our country, why do you have one for your family and you don't support one for the the country? And I mean, I think that's a great point. He also, his views are, and people should go to this interview and view and make their own minds up. But he says that Christianity and religious liberty is under attack. He believes that very strongly. He believes human life begins at conception. And he believes that the Bible is clear that marriage is defined as the union between one man and one woman. So those are just the highlights. And we'll put this on our Facebook page, this interview with Paul Nell. He certainly is giving Paul Ryan a good challenge, I think, Daniel. He's been, you know, putting up big signs on the road, signs in the yard saying international bankers for Paul Ryan, wages are too high, vote for Paul Ryan. He's really hitting hard.
No, definitely. I mean, he certainly is very spirited, and that's the thing. This wasn't just a token opposition. And the hope is that even if he comes up short, that this does have an effect because, again, this is not just any other House race. This is the number one guy in the House, the Speaker. And I think the concern that many of us have is, you know, and I'm not saying we know what's going to happen in the presidential election, but if Hillary would win, I mean, my gosh, the House would be the last body standing, and that's where you would need to stop a lot of the damage. And his modus operandi is to pick the path to least resistance.
Well, that's the point. I mean, do you honestly look? We have an avalanche coming our way, and I mean, do we have any evidence that Paul Ryan would stand up against any of it? I mean, to watch him, Daniel, this was like a knife in my heart. I have to tell you, I don't know why I didn't see it coming. But when Planned Parenthood, we started finding out from those undercover videos that they were selling baby body parts. And there was a groundswell, shall I use the word, a groundswell of people so upset about this. In fact, I met more than once in Senator Cruz's office with groups, all pro-life groups, other groups, congressional offices, saying we have to take a stand. We cannot allow this. We cannot budget for Planned Parenthood in this next budget. And it's worth a government shutdown to stop this. It's a crisis. Look at what they're doing. And I saw, as you did too, Paul Ryan lead the House into fully funding, in fact, increasing funding for Planned Parenthood, all the while pretending like they weren't. It was like a kabuki dance where, here, look over here, but don't look over here. It was just amazing. I'm tired of that.
What's very clear, this is really a known secret on the Hill, that anything that deals with what they call social issues, which, again, I don't think you need to be a social conservative to oppose giving money to private enterprise that's under criminal investigation for harvesting baby parts. But anything that has to do with that, religious liberty, certainly marriage, they don't want to bring it up. They don't want to discuss it. And that's the thing. This was a seminal moment in the 40-year battle for life, you know, since Roe v. Wade. This was a seminal moment where, as tragic as it was, you really had a huge opportunity to educate people. No, this is not just about safe, rare, and legal. They actually glorify it like the modern-day Moloch. This is what they do. And yet, shockingly, they had the first budget bill right after the revelation, and nothing happened. And again, this has trickled down across the board. There was almost no mention of it at the RNC. Unfortunately, Donald Trump, I never hear him talking about this. It would be great if he does, because he's losing the Catholic vote by 17 points in the Fox News poll. I mean, this would be a great opportunity to rejuvenate that issue. So this is a problem across the board. And Paul Ryan is supposed to be a devout Catholic. But, again, I never hear him discuss it.
Well, he's kind of like Tim Kaine, who's privately pro-life, remember? This is amazing to me. When they do, you know, it doesn't matter what you're, if you do nothing with the ability that God has given you to stop something, and yet you say privately, you know, privately I feel that way, it doesn't mean nothing. It means nothing.
If you're Sandy, you just remind me, it's an amazing point. a lot of people say this to me, come on, Daniel, this guy's not conservative enough for you. What do you mean? Like, and what the analogy that I think of, and you just reminded me of it, is like a football team where you have two sides say, well, I'm not for the other side. I play for this team. But if you sit there and you don't make the tackle when you can, well, you may as well be playing for the other team.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And so with that in mind, Wisconsin has their primary tomorrow, and Paul Ryan is being challenged. And, yeah, I know the polls show that he's way far ahead. But also, Daniel, I know that polls are used to create an impression. So I just don't know. I mean, I think it is an uphill battle. But I do know that in Janesville, in Ryan's hometown, I don't think he's carried that particular precinct or area, whatever area it is, he's never carried it. People there don't like him. In fact, Cruz, carried that area of Wisconsin. Cruz carried Wisconsin in the presidential race. So how do you think that's going to affect this? What do you think Cruz voters are going to do up there? They're going to go for Paul Nellen?
I think the deal here is it's going to be very low turnout because this is separated from the presidential election. A couple months ago. You do not have any major statewide competitive primaries. So it's all this House race, and that's the thing. And I think that does help the challenger that you're going to have the people most motivated to turn out in a very low turnout primary are going to be the ones that are against him. I don't think you have that much positive energy for Paul Ryan. Usually the way incumbents win is just because monkey see, monkey do. This is the name they know of. Just by default, they'll vote for the guy. But if they're not going to really turn out anyway for something much more important statewide, I think the low turnout could help Nellen.
Well, that's interesting. All right. Any other races that I've got some in my head. I think of Dan Bongino down in Florida. He's running for an open seat, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. All right. So, and he's, of course, the establishment hates Dan Bongino. He's the former Secret Service agent who is so powerful. And so that's another race to watch. And then, of course, Donald Trump endorsed John McCain yesterday. His primary is coming up against Dr. Kelly Ward. One of the other challengers dropped out. So I think Kelly Ward's chances have improved, don't you, Daniel?
I think that's really the major race left for conservatives. I mean, especially in a terrible year, that would be a Hail Mary pass at the end of the game. I mean, that would save it all. This entire year worth it if we could down John McCain.
That would be really interesting, but I'm not sure what's going to happen out there. But anyway, there are still some very good races and strong races left. And again, if your state has already voted, your candidate is in or out, whichever the case may be, you can still help in these other states. You can give money, you can support, you can contact people that you know in those states. You can actually fly out there and help them with their races. It's just something that we can all still do. All right, Daniel, we've got just a minute left. Thank you for joining me. And by the way, thank you for your great book, which we're going to get to discussing at some point, where you talk about how the Obama administration has appointed 30% of the lower courts and how that's going to come back to bite us. I think it already is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Daniel Horowitz, Conservative Review, by the way, has just blossomed under Daniel's good stewardship. And it is a great place to go to find out where candidates stand on issues and offer for great articles, great writing that you can trust. And Daniel is the senior editor. Daniel, thanks for joining us this morning.
Really enjoyed it as always. God bless.
Okay, thanks. Same to you, Daniel. All right, well, this is Sandy Rios. Way to start off the week, right? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.